Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkanda Were, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you too. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. Happy New Year to you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you too.
Lovely, fantastic, great man to hear. I hope that you are well and in good health.
I am. I have a broad smile on my face, and I can't just shake it off. I am well.
Lovely, great to hear that. Oh, fantastic, man. Great,
amen.
Great to hear.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about, at this moment, and I think this whole week you're going to be joining us, and we are going to be talking about cultivating resilience through faith, cultivating resilience through faith. And that, of course, those who are joining us on the line, please do make sure that you are part of this conversation as well. Having any questions, if you have any comments, please do send them to us, and the pastor is going to be able to attend to those. Now, we want to know what resilience is. And poetically put, one might say resilience is the human's heart, heart's ability to suffer greatly and grow from it. As much as we may all want that, for many of us, it simply is just out of reach, you know, unpleasant and inconvenient. And we want to end we want just not to be associated with pain. We don't want to be associated with discomfort, and we want it actually to end it as quickly as possible. Now, you'll be pleased to know that resilience can be learned and built, and I think this is what we're going to be talking about this week with the pastor. Now, Pastor, before we get anywhere far, please help us to understand what resilience is.
I like how you have introduced the subject. It is indeed the capacity to suffer and grow. I wasn't going to use those words. I was simply going to use simple words like just the ability to withstand or recover from a difficult phase or experience. That is what it is. But I like how you use, how you define it. The ability, the capacity of the human heart to suffer and grow.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that is what God requires of us, that we may grow. And so it is God's design that we are put through some test of some kind. He calls them crucibles so that we grow. The idea is that at the end of it, we are fine as God, because that is what God desires of us.
Yeah, that's very, very important. Thank you so much for that. Now, why is resilience important in the Christian walk? I mean, it seems like it's an important subject for Christians, maybe for non-Christians as well. I don't know, but why is it important?
So, if we lived in a perfect world, we would not need resilience. But we live in a sin-mad world. The Bible says that in this world, we wrestle against principalities, against powers of darkness in high places. And so, because we don't fight flesh and blood, because there is evil on every side for as long as we are on this side of the world, we need to have the capacity to withstand this evil and overcome it. That is why resilience is important. And you know, the beauty about resilience, the Bible tells us that even though we fight against principalities, against powers of dark places, rulers of dark places, the Bible also tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Meaning so that we can overcome these very principalities. As powerful as they may seem, we have the capacity through Christ to overcome them. That is why we need to build, cultivate resilience, because in this world, we are fighters. We are an army. We are in a battle. And as a result, we need to be ready to fight and overcome. So we need resilience.
Very, very important. I think I like the fact that it seems as though troubles are going to come. It's not a question of they may come, or there's a chance that they may. No, you are saying they're going to come.
It's our very life.
And so
we will have trouble.
And with that assurance, we then have to build resilience.
We do.
Tell me, Pastor. But now, the troubles are coming, and one has to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Who benefits? Yes. Who benefits from this resilience? Is it ourselves, or is it maybe other people who are watching?
Ah, beautiful question. So I would like to use Bible examples to answer this question.
Right.
So, in the first place, let me say both ourselves and those around us, other people.
Right.
So, in the case of Joseph, sold into slavery at 17 and then sent to prison thereafter, and he stays in prison until he is 30. He had to have resilience, or else he would have given up on his dream. But then the Bible tells us that his dream was for the salvation of many people, not only the Egyptians, but also his own family, the entire nation of Israel, as God intended it to be created, had to be saved by Joseph. And it had to take his resilience through the suffering that he went through, and he had to come back from it. Then he was ready to save the nation. Then he was ready to save his own family. And so in Joseph's case, it was both for himself and for other people.
I see.
But then
I
the
see.
Bible also tells us another story in Second Kings in chapter 5. Tells us the story of the little girl from Samaria. This little girl was in Naaman's house as a slave. She was captured as a slave from Samaria. And in Naaman's house, she is saving his wife. When this little girl sees his suffering because of her resilience, she offers help to Naaman. And so in her case, her resilience is for the benefit of her master, because the Bible does not tell us how she is benefited. Even after Naaman's healing, the Bible doesn't come back to her to tell us anything about it. And so from this story, we can tell that it was actually for the benefit of another person. But from many other stories in the Bible, we know ourselves and for other human beings as well.
Now, Webb, do you have maybe any practical situations that you can share with us that you think can build resilience? Maybe examples of, you can say, you know what, Zama, if you can go through a situation like this, this will definitely build your resilience.
Yeah.
Any examples?
There are so many others. But for now, I do not like to use scripture. Let's come back to real life. There's a man known as Donald J. Trump. Very, very common, very well known. He actually says most well known human being is not the most famous. He says Jesus Christ is, and he is right. But he is very well known. He is still undergoing trials, persecution from legal persecution, and yet the man endured it all. He withstood it all, and he went back to the State House. To White House, fighting it along the way, and went back to the White House. Now, Donald Trump may not be, he may not resonate with so many of us. But how about Nelson Mandela? Locked away for 27 years, and then he comes back to continue his fight for the liberation of the people of South Africa. And he achieves it. Talk about resilience in real life. And so, when we look at these two examples and the many others that we could compare these two to, we know that real life situations could happen and we could still withstand the pain, the suffering, the trials, and still overcome. We talked about Joseph not too long ago. Imagine a 17-year-old boy sold into slavery. And then shortly thereafter, he is sent to prison until he is 30 years old. Anybody else would think their life is over. But no, he held on to God, to his faith, to his dream. Because God told him, he gave him a dream. He told him he would come back out of that prison and stand as head of his family. And his family would be saved, would bow, would save him. And because of that dream, he held on to God faithfully. And it came to pass because he was resilient. And so, real life situations, I don't think there's anything that beats the life story of Nelson Mandela.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. And these are perfect examples because these are well-known mm-hmm. figures and these are a very well-told mm-hmm. stories, I think, that many people will mm-hmm. actually be familiar with. And thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to get to that stage where you are resilient, how do you mm-hmm. then build this resilience? Or how is it reinforced through these experiences? Mm.
That's a beautiful question. And for this question, let me go back to scripture. Let's begin with Romans chapter 5. Now, chapter 5, we have a few verses. Let's just read verse 3 to 5. Then we'll go to James chapter 1. So Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to through to 5. This is what scripture says. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That's suffering, eh? Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance is a synonym for resilience.
Yeah, yeah.
And perseverance, verse 4, perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And so scripture tells us that when we go through tribulations, what that does, when we hold on to the hope, the promises God has made us while we go through those tribulations, what that does is that it produces resilience in us. And so the capacity in the human heart to withstand suffering grows when we go through tribulation, through trials. And so when we endure, when we persevere, we have a character that is able to withstand whatever is thrown to the human being. And because of this character, we have the hope. We have what we have in the end because we have been resilient. Now, James makes it even plainer. This is what he says.
Yeah.
James chapter 1 and verse, let's begin from verse 2. I'll read 3 verses, verse 2, 3, and 4, and then skip to verse 2. This is what James says. James 1, verse 2. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Patience is another synonym for resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, the Bible says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's verse 4. Now, verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." That is what the Bible says. So, when we go through trial, we are building resilience. We are reinforcing our capacity to withstand trials, temptations, and suffering. And so what builds or how we build resilience is by going through tribulation.
Is there no better way? I mean, really, there must be a better way. Maybe we can attend a class, you know, pay the fees that will teach us how to withstand resilience, and then we are good to go. I mean, why must we go through trials? That's tough, eh?
Praise God, you don't have to pay for it. He will send trials and temptations, tribulations, so that these trials can stretch and strengthen your muscle to withstand suffering, and that is what builds. It's like you are just strengthening the muscle for resilience, but that muscle can only be stretched through exercise, and so you have to exert yourself to strengthen those muscles. That is what trials do. That is what temptations do. That's what tribulations do. That is how we build resilience. So, no, God does not throw us away when he puts us through trials. Nah, he is with us. That is why he says he will provide a way of escape to every temptation, because he is with us. He needs us to be tempted so that we can be stronger and resilient.
Indeed, so we can be stronger and resilient. Now, I want to let you go, but before I do, is this going trials and building resilience, is it a once-off process or is it continuous? I mean, question is really, do we really ever graduate from this resilience course?
Yes, we do. Thank God, we do. The Bible says Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And after, God took him to heaven because he had graduated. Mm-hmm. Now, if Enoch took 300 years, dear brothers and sisters, let's take all the life we have. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, do not grow weary of well-doing. Do not grow weary of doing good. That is what the Bible says. Thus, throughout our lifetime, it is a progressive process. It does not come to an end. It comes to an end when we reach perfection, when our muscle will have stretched to the point where it can't stretch anymore, like Enoch did. Then God takes him to heaven. And at that point, God will either take us to heaven or allow us to rest in his grace, so that when Christ shall return, he may resurrect us in glory. And so for as long as we live, we will still continue to stretch those muscles. So because it does not stop until we are perfect. And so if it took 300 years for Enoch, and dear brothers and sisters, we don't have 300 years. Let's take all the time we have to stretch those muscles and strengthen them so we may be perfect by the time we expire.
Well, man, it sounds very easy when talked about, but I can imagine it cannot be as easy as it is said. But hey, what can we do, man? We just got to do what we got to do.
It is as painful as exertion of muscles.
Yeah. Well,
Pastor, and yet it is as profitable afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No, beautiful one.
Indeed.
Pastor, thank you so much for your time. And we're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Happy New Year.
Great stuff. And you too. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.